chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As now we spent some time in prayer, anything we need to make note of tonight that we didn't make note of before? Okay, then let's get ready for the study of Scripture. Go to a bookstore, and Dallas has so many of them, and there are shelves and shelves and shelves of books that has been and always will be in our society on how to have a happy life, how to do this and how to do that, financially, marriage, so many different ways, financial success, health. And then there are just so many books that you'll find on the bookshelf that really caters, without saying so, and I will probably offend some of you, but really caters to us individually. Big sellers. Men different from women, and women are different from men, and you got to treat each of them differently because of this and because of that. And we like those kind of books. They recognize that I'm woman, or they recognize I'm man, they recognize I'm a teenager, they recognize I'm a single person, they recognize I'm an old person, they recognize that I don't have an arm, they recognize I'm short, they recognize I'm ugly, they recognize I'm fat, they recognize I can't do this, they recognize I'm that, and we like that. And so everybody has a way. It comes to full conclusion of Paul's statement tonight, the way to live, the excellent life, the way to live. I don't care if you're man or woman. I don't care if you, what type of person you are, all of those different types of personalities. We like to, I'm a this and I'm a that, and people tell, well, you're a little of this and you're a little of that, and they break it all down. I don't care all those things that man has come up with, the traditions of man and the thinking of man, and reason their way through those things. But when it comes to supporting it by this book, really hard pressed to find a manner of thinking and a manner of life that we're supposed to have differently because somebody's a man or somebody's a woman. And because somebody is this and because somebody is that. And spiritual love, the more excellent way that Paul is going to talk about, it is what everyone needs. It is what will glorify Christ. It is indeed the excellent life. And it doesn't depend on any circumstance. It doesn't depend on finance, it doesn't depend on age, it doesn't depend on sex. This is a very powerful statement that Paul is making. So many traditions of man we accept without going to this book as true. What really needs to be between a husband and wife is trust. That's what you've got to have. The woman must be able to trust the man. The man must be able to trust the woman. Show me that in Scripture. I'll even take an implication. I'll take that the Word of God somewhere even implies that. Much less if you can't find a straight out verse. But we build a whole lot on it. The whole promise keeper's momentum is built on that. But you don't find it in Scripture. We have to go to Scripture, and people don't like Scripture. Even people who claim they do. That's too simple. That's just too simple. It's more complex. I am woman. I am man. I am this. I am that. It's more complicated. People, it's not more complicated. It is not. I want to spend a few moments in prayer. Let's present ourselves to the Spirit, who is the teacher, to reveal some of these things to us, so that the veil is lifted from the traditions of man and the thinking of man and the 101 books that are on the bookshelves on how to have a good life, how to have a wonderful marriage, how to do all these things. Let's spend a few moments preparing ourselves, testing ourselves, getting ourselves in a proper relationship to the third member of the Godhead. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we're human and we desire so much a touch of happiness on our life and our life on earth. We desire an inner peace, pleasure in life. And we work so hard and try so many different ways. And you provided it all along in simplicity. You've given us the power for it. You've given to us the grace of it and the person of it. And pray now, Father, that the Spirit will enlighten us. The Spirit will use me, Father, to communicate these things accurately, simply in simplicity. Lift the veil from our eyes so that we can understand what's going on in Scripture. Protect us from the powers of darkness, from the thoughts of the world that would seek Heavenly Father to intrude and interrupt our seeing and understanding what's going on. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:31. Earnestly desire the greater gift. Okay, we are taking a look at that along with chapter 14:1. But now, let's look at the next phrase. And I show you a still more excellent way. Now, Paul shifts to what is really important for the believer, for the church, locally and universally. There is something far greater, far more important than spiritual gifts. That all the spiritual gifts we talk about, speaking in tongues, the spectacular gifts, temporary as they may be, upfront gifts, all these gifts that everybody's excited about in chapter 12. And Paul says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And the more excellent way that he's going to talk about here, people, is something that every believer in Jesus Christ can have in your life. You can have this more excellent way. One of the things that has happened in the 20th century, going into the 21st century in America, is people, we interpret Scripture by the American dream. We interpret Scripture by what everybody has and what we ought to have. We have this ideal in America, if I work hard, if I make good grades, if I get the degrees, if I get this and that, then I'm going to have my house with the white picket fence and all that, and a marriage that'll last forever, and children that'll all be wonderful, and this is a lie. But we've got this idea, and we start interpreting Scripture that way. You think through the centuries of the church and start applying these principles to no matter what the circumstance is, and you begin to realize he's not talking about anything related to the American dream. That's not the more excellent way. Somebody comes from all over the world because they used to want our God. Now they want our money. because they don't present our God anymore. But the more excellent way is something that every person can have as far as your life is concerned. Now, the Greek word kai starts out and, this last phrase, and I show you. The word kai here, translated and, it's unfortunate it's translated and, it's one of those Greek words that has a rich, abundant different meanings. It's a conjunction. And it has a lot of inferences. The conjunction here advances all that has been said in verse 12. It advances all of that and takes all of that and puts it into a secondary position. And then it says, and then it says, I show you a steel. Now, see the word steel? Translated steel. The Greek adverb, epi, and it's really translated, yet still. Now, why do I emphasize such a simple point? Yet still. What is the point here? The point is, as important as all these things are I've been discussing in chapter 12, all that's been going on, they are not superior. I've had to spend that time because you Corinthians made a big deal out of it. I had to spend a whole chapter because you Corinthians made a big deal about spiritual gifts like tongues and putting people in different categories of hierarchy who have what gift. So, all right, I'll talk to you about spiritual gifts because that's what you need to be talked about. But I want to tell you something. There's still something more important than all of that. All if you want to talk about spiritual gifts, there is still something more important. You can list a lot of things in Christianity, this and this and this, yet there's still something that's more important. There's a phrase, I almost went through this tonight, but I want to make some progress here. There is a phrase in the Bible, in the New Testament, translated above all. You usually have that with a list. All these things, but above all, and nearly every time, is the superior way of life, love, spiritual love. So he says, still. Then he says, I will show you. The word to show here means to show you by teaching, to show you by explaining to you what the more excellent way is and why it is the more excellent way. This is a job, people, of every pastor. This is a job to make known to everybody the more excellent way. Does not mean everyone is going to believe it. It does not mean everyone is going to live it. And I know that. And you know that. Not everybody's got this. People will think, oh, that sounds nice and all, but when push comes to shove, no, it's this gift. No, it's righteousness. No, it's this. No, it's that. So I have not fooled myself any longer. I'm not fooled at all. That just because people sit class after class and you teach something like spiritual love, that means they're getting it. That doesn't mean that at all. I've learned that. But this is the responsibility to teach the more excellent way. Now, the word translated, more excellent way. It's really what we're talking about is an extraordinary quality. I won't go with the Greek with you, but just take my word for it. Extraordinary quality, superior. The new commandment that he's going to talk about here is extraordinary quality. It is superior. It is more spectacular. It is superior to spiritual gifts. It is superior to spectacular spiritual gifts. Far superior to any other category of love. It is superior to all of these things. And now we have to come down as we start into this. And you know this and I know this. If I brought you a book on how to get your body in just perfect condition, and I've got two or three different books and I give you one, then what it's going to come down is do I believe what this book says? Do I believe this book says? This book says that the whole deal is carbohydrates. So this book says the whole deal is cholesterol. This book says the whole deal is this. This book combines different things. It's going to come down to you really believe that. Not just you try it for a month or two. You really believe that. But this is the superior way. So as we enter into the study, as we're getting ready to look at now in 1 Corinthians 13, do you believe what Paul is saying? And I'm going to word it this way. Do you believe the Word of God? Because this is the Spirit speaking through him. Do you believe that spiritual love is the superior way of life? And there are other things we put on the board. No, it's knowledge. Knowledge is superior. No, it's living a righteous life. That is superior. Being morally righteous, that is superior. People, I'm going to tell you something. The Puritans lived what we'll call a righteous life. They were so cruel and vicious and hurt so many people with their self-righteousness. The period of the Puritans was horrible, the way they treated people. And I'm talking about Christians. But there are people who say, this is the superior way of life. So we can put on the board here a lot of different things that people will think that is the superior way of life. We can put on here knowledge is the superior way of life. We can put on here that living a righteous, moral life, that is the superior way of life. That service is the superior way of life. This is what you've got to do. And if whatever you want to put on there. And when it really first comes to shove, this is really the issue. Or do I really believe that spiritual love is the superior way of life? And I'm talking about believe where it makes a difference in your life. I'm talking about believe it to the point I'm going to pursue it. I'm going to pursue this, or I'm going to pursue this, or I'm going to pursue this, or I'm going to pursue love, as we are told to do in Scripture. So we have to make up our mind, do we believe, and this is just personal expectation, do you believe what the Scripture says to the point of pursuing it? This way is beyond, Paul is saying, any other way of life, anything else that you could pursue. If I have family life, the right husband and wife, and have the right family, and on Christmas morning we're all together and we have coffee and hot chocolate and open gifts and we all love each other, that's what I'm going to pursue in life. And I don't have that, so therefore I really have my life incomplete. I don't have a child and I'm a woman. I don't have this and I don't have that. And if I had these things, then it would be really what's great. Or do you believe this is the superior way of life? When you're hit and you're tested, yes, I believe that. Boom, then you're tested. The things of the world are taken away from you. Home, wife, money, finance, friends, whatever. Now do you believe it? This is what Job was. This is why I say Job is over the whole Bible. This is what Job was. Everything's stiff. Now, do you think I'm not great? And Job started cursing God. No, I don't. We're going to be tested. Have to find out, do I really believe this is the superior way of life? Do I really believe this is a life that is beyond anything else? This is far superior than dealing with people in any other way. So we have to come down, do we believe that this is the superior way of life? Now, what I want to deal with, I want to cover a few points tonight with you. It's going to sound like a few, but believe me, it's not exhaustive. Why? Why is spiritual love the superior way of life? Why is it the superior way of life? Why is it the way that is going to be happiness? Why is it better than anything else? Why is spiritual love? Because it's not only that it is spiritual love, I want you to know why it is. That's very important to me. Somebody says, this is the way to go. Why? Why is that the way to go? This is the vacuum cleaner you should buy. Why? I want to know why. This is the way you ought to live. I want to know why. Why do you say this and why does somebody have something else? You should get on our health program. Why? You should get into our way of making money. Why? Now we're going to find out why is spiritual love, why is it the superior way? Now I'm going to be making comments. Since we kind of went this way, and some of you know it, kind of went this way in 1991. I went back to 91. Pulled out, and I want to tell you something. Well, I've changed so much, took out a lot of stuff, put in some new things. So I want you to look at what we're going to read about as a superior way of life. Let's start and just read. What is a superior way of life? Verse 4 of chapter 13. We'll start at verse 4. Love. We're talking about spiritual love. Love is long-suffering. First thing said about it. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. Is not arrogant. Does not act unbecoming. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. This love bears all things. People trust cannot bear all things. Trust cannot bear the breakdown of trust. Love can even bear that. Bears all things. Believes all things. Now, does that mean that love believes all lies? No. We'll come to it. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. Okay, let's start taking a look. Why is this the superior way or the moral way of life? One, spiritual love is the more excellent way because people, it is the only way that is truly the way of reality. Reality. You want to live or find a way that is truly the more excellent way? Spiritual love is the more excellent way because spiritual love deals with reality. It deals with the way things are, not the way things ought to be. I want you to think about this now. Here is a way to live your life that is in the realm of reality, not dreams, not wishes. I wished my children worked this way. Boy, it'd be nice if my husband wasn't that way. It would be wonderful if my wife wasn't that way. It would really be nice if I had a husband and wife. It'd be great if I didn't have a husband and wife. It would be wonderful if this, and it would be wonderful if that. It would be great if I could start my life over and know what I know. It would be great if I were this and that, if I were rich, if I were poor. People, let's deal with reality. And this is what deals with reality. This is no ups and downs based on circumstances. The reason there's no ups and downs with spiritual love is because spiritual love is designed for reality. The way I really am. What did we see last night? A very important point last night. What is the truth? What is the truth? If I just knew the truth, did you do it? That's what I want to know. People, the truth is I sin. That's the truth. But that's not the end. And that's what's beautiful in 1 John. It's not a matter of did you or didn't you. The truth is I sin. But that's not the end of it. That's not what it's about. You've got to go further than that now. What happened with that, and as we'll see, it's all taken care of on the cross, even for our believers. Now let's take a look at what reality is. Spiritual love deals with reality. As we read through there, spirituality is going to deal with the reality. Spiritual love is going to deal with the reality of sin. It's going to deal with the reality of failure. It's going to deal with the reality of disappointment. It's going to deal with the reality I can't control even my dog. It's going to deal with reality and reality and reality. It's going to deal with the reality I'm getting older. It's going to deal with the reality of this is happening in my life and that's happening in my life. All the reality. Spiritual love is a more excellent way because it's going to deal with every reality. This is powerful, people. To have a way of life that is going to deal with reality. And the reality is this. Spiritual love is the more excellent way because spiritual love deals with reality. And what's the reality? The reality, people, is this. You me, you, in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in you. You in Jesus Christ, baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ in you, baptism of Jesus Christ. Now that is reality. That's who you are, you really are. See, the American dream is based upon, basically, I'm an American, and I've worked hard, and I've studied, or I've got knowledge, or I've got this trade, all of this. This is reality. Spiritual love is a more excellent way because it deals with the reality of just who you really are. And we get away from all of this stuff, I am man, I am woman. I am man, I'm from Mars. I'm woman, and I'm from some other planet. And I'm this, and I'm from here. And I'm this, and I'm from that. And I'm this, and from over here. I'm rich, I'm poor. I'm all. No. I'm in Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm a new person in Christ. And I need a way of life that is going to deal with that reality. It is amazing how much we allow in this country, America, to influence our understanding of this book. And understanding what life's really about. Who's successful? My children, I want them to grow up successful. What does that mean? I want them to have a good marriage. I want them to have a good job. I want them to do this and that. Or I want them to grow up loving as Christ loved, and I don't care about anything else. We just can't set the American dream down. And we're so prone to judge success by the American dream. My child, the boy or girl, my child has accomplished, and that's what I'm going to brag about. Ah, child, what can I say? Always going to church, I don't know what they're doing. My child loves as Christ loved. People at the judgment seat, that's all that's going to matter. Christ is not going to stand up and say, okay, let me ask you about how much money do you make in America? How do you get in with the American dream? American dream ends up in discouragement and disillusionment for so many people. And it's going to get worse. It's an economic dream. But who you really are in Christ. You really are a new spiritual creature. And the way most people think, and most people do, is what they perceive, is they perceive something that is not reality. People, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and you pursue anything other than loving as Christ loved, I want to tell you something. You're pursuing something that is out of reality for you. It will not make you happy. It will not bring you what you want it to bring you. I'm sorry. That's the bottom fact. That's the truth. Cold, hard facts of life. You can have a wonderful job, wonderful environment, but if you are a believer in Christ and there is a Holy Spirit convicting and struggling inside of you and you're not, there's going to be that want inside. Or on the other hand, if you do pursue the more excellent way, the superior way of life, and you don't have any of the things of the world, you have wonderful peace inside. Wonderful happiness. I don't speak to you people as just a preacher or a teacher, but experientially. Things can change in your whole life, and you're going to find out if Christ is really real. Is there that happiness in my soul? And anything of what the world calls these great things, but you still have a superior way of life. This is reality. What Paul is here talking about is reality. So the excellent, the more superior life is a life that deals with reality. Reality of who you are in Christ, new spiritual creature. What you're here for, what your destiny is, the greater work, being transformed into the image of Christ. There are a few young people here, and some of you will talk to young people. Think about marriage. What are you thinking about marriage? A destiny, a parallel destiny. Somebody who has a parallel destiny to mine. Somebody who is pursuing the superior way of life, loving as Christ loved. This becomes a great issue as far as reality is concerned. Spiritual love is a more excellent way because it centers on your being. Watch this. It centers on you being, first of all, being loved by Jesus Christ. That's reality. Jesus Christ pursuing a relationship with you, that's reality. So this deals with reality. Point two. Let me move on. Point two. Spiritual love is a more excellent way. People, because it puts you, in control of your own life and your own soul. First of all, it deals with reality. So let's deal with it. It's a superior way because it deals with reality. And I love that one. Because reality is who I am in Christ, and reality is not all the things that may happen in life, the ups and the downs and all these things that happen in the cosmic world around me. It's not who I am. Who you are is in Christ. But secondly, this is the more excellent way because it puts you in control of your own life. Puts you in control of your own life. In other words, people, there's the things that come into our life that we just simply cannot control. There's adversity. People. People come under great stress today, great adversity, and get very disoriented. They can't control their environment. And that aggravates a lot of people. They can't control people. They can't control the decision that people make around them. I want to have the power. I want to have the power to control my environment, to control people. One of the problems in the last half of the 20th century, liberation, women's liberation, is that women set aside the word of God. I don't have to submit to this man. It's 50-50. I'm a person and do what I want. And when a woman says, I therefore am not going to submit to this man, then what happened to a lot of men was they lost control. They flat lost control. A woman says, I don't care what you say, I'm going to work. I don't care what you say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You don't have authority over me. I don't care what the Bible says. That isn't what it means. And I'll go find me a preacher that'll tell me it doesn't mean that too. And there's preachers like that. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. So, a lot of men start losing control. And it's a horrible thing when a husband starts losing control over his own marriage. Starts losing that control. And now with that control, God generally will lose control over his children because they're going to follow the mother. She doesn't have to, they don't have to. So it starts to become very aggravating. So you start having an unbelievable increase in our country in badgering of women than what we used to have. I've lost everything, and a man becomes so, and I'm not supporting it, not condoning ever touching a woman. But a lot of men lose all that control, and so they just go to what's left is to hit them, beat them, control. Some way, one way or another. Women want to control. Control by sex. I want to control. I want to control my environment. It is the nature of man. Because it deals, by the way, it deals, and I'm not going to go into all of this, but we know it from the Old Testament, it deals with my immortality. But I want to control. And then you begin to realize you can't control. Can't control the environment, you can't control people, you can't control the circumstances, and then here's the final kicker, you can't control God. And that really is the final blow. Can't even control God. I can't even get God to do what I wanted to do. And boy, did I pray hard. But God isn't doing it. I've got no control. No control. So, can't control. Now, if I can't control everybody, then what is the more excellent way? What's the more superior way? Here's what's far greater. A force inside of you that will enable you to deal with all circumstances in life that will glorify Christ. No matter what others do, here you are. And no matter what people that you quote, should be under over control over children, wife, whatever, as a wife, mother, whatever, at work, at home, in the church, anywhere in life. You just can't control. But you can do something now with a superior way, the more excellent way, if you can now have total control of what's going on inside of your own soul, regardless of what anybody does. It is not going to disrupt you inside. It is not going to tear you up inside. It is not going to destroy your happiness in life. That is the superior way of life. And now, I don't mean that you build this. What a lot of people do today is they build this brick wall around their soul. And boy, nobody's going to penetrate this brick wall. I'll not fall in love. I'll not marry. I'm not going to marry anybody. I'm not going to marry a man. I'm not going to marry a woman. I'm not going to have friends. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And so therefore I'll build this wall and nobody's going to hurt me. Wonderful. That's not the more excellent way. That's cutting yourself off. That's not the more excellent way. The more excellent way is where you can still deal in your marriage, in your work, in your friendship, in every area of your life, but inside, there's going to be total control regardless of what happens anywhere else. So your life now is no longer controlled. There is in your soul long suffering. There is in your soul kindness. There is in your soul no arrogance. There is in your soul ability to bear all things. This person really hurt me and let me down. People, what's the superior way? Think about it. What is the superior way? Somebody hurt you and let you down? Is it the superior way to be able to be in such a position that you can cut their head off and control everybody around you? Or they hurt you, but inside your soul, no disruption. You're able to bear it. That's powerful. And when I say be able to bear it, I mean be able to bear it without bitterness. Be able to bear it without cutting them out. Well, all right, that's where you want to be, then it's fine. You go your way, I'm going mine, and that's where you want things, fine. Let's just end the whole deal. No, that's not the more excellent way. The superior way of life is, no matter what these people may do or not do out here, inside your soul, you're able to bear it and still maintain happiness, still maintain reflect the glory of Christ, still have enthusiasm for life, and still move on. That's the more excellent way. And that's what we have with this. Point three, spiritual love is the more excellent way or superior way of life. For by it, we draw attention to the person of Christ, not to ourselves. We draw attention to the Son of God. Now, and draw attention to self. If we're honest, as Paul is, a wicked man that I am. People, I don't want people, it's not a wonderful thing if people know what I'm really like. But we all know what we're like. And we all know what each other's like. Therefore, what we want is not to draw attention to self. We want to draw attention to the person of Jesus Christ, and this is the more excellent way because this is what this will do. It will always draw attention because this love is the love of this person right here, Jesus Christ. Hey, I've got to tell you something. You're not seeing my love. You're seeing the love of Christ, my Savior. I want to be honest with you. You want to see my love? It's selfish. It's self-centered and self-pleasing. What you're seeing is the love of Jesus Christ. People, that's what we want to do as his ambassadors. That's what we want to do, and this is the way to do it. The way, and Christ tells us that, the way to draw attention and let people know that I belong to him is to see his love flowing out from you. By this, all will know that you're mine. You draw attention to who and what Christ is. You show that Jesus Christ is your Savior and your friend. Point four. Spiritual love is the more excellent way. Now, what I've done here on the point four, just tell you what I've done. We're going to go through some things here in the point four, and each one of these deserves to be a point in themselves. That would make this about, I don't know, probably around 50. So by the time I said you know, 34, y'all be gone. And I'd be sitting here. Jeff would probably be there because he's got to ride home with me. Unless he goes out and walks around outside. But I want to tell you something in one little area. Point four, spiritual love is the more excellent way. And I'm just going to run some things down to you, and then we'll look at them. It is the more excellent way. First, all of these come from 1 John. I've had a lot of fun in 1 John, and I told you we're not going to continue, and we won't. But we're going to see some things in it. Let me tell you something. Spiritual love is the more excellent way. Let me ask you something. What if I told you, you know, most of you know, Tish. Tish is my friend, and Tish is in the health industry. And every now and then, she'll come back and she says, "Okay, we got something new that'll do this to your body." And we get real excited about it. Everybody gets excited about what it's going to do. Okay, what if I told you I got a way of life where you won't sin? You won't sin. See, I got a pill, you won't gain weight. People would run to it. If this thing really, you will. I don't care how many Italian and Mexican meals and steaks you have, you will never gain weight with this. I mean, a billionaire overnight, if it really works. But that's all you have to do. Just take this. No exercise, no nothing, nothing else. Take this and you'll never gain weight. Okay? I got one way that you won't sin. Okay? Here it is. First of all, under point four, that you may not sin. That you may not sin. We won't look right now. Just write it down and then we'll do this quickly at the end. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, and 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. Well, let's do look at those two. They don't flow with the others. Look with me. Open your text to 1 John. Let me show you something. Spiritual love is the more excellent way. Well, what intrudes on my relationship with God is my sin. When I sin, whatever the sin may be, this is what intrudes on it. So if I can get something that will cause me to stop sinning, that's going to be the more excellent way. Okay, let's see. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I'm writing these things. This is a great verse. I might have more fun with you on this. This is just great. I am writing these things to you that, here's the purpose, that in order that you may not sin. Now, with that in mind, the rest of the verses there, but with that in mind, again at verse 10. Again at verse 10. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. People, if you will walk by spiritual love, perceive spiritual love, in spiritual love, there is no cause. There is no cause to stumble. There is no cause to sin. How in the world can that be? Well, think about what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. First of all, it's long-suffering. Somebody hurts you, wrongs you some way, sins against you in some way. Spiritual love is not going to cause you to stumble over that. It can bear all things. You won't sin when somebody does that. Just go through a lot of things that cause us to sin. See? Arrogance. That's not arrogance. See? It doesn't brag. It's not jealous. There's going to be no sin related to any kind of jealousy. You walk in spiritual love, and there's just no cause to sin. Paul tells us that if you have spiritual love, you will do all righteousness. You will do all righteousness. You're not pursuing righteousness, you're pursuing spiritual love. But if you do love, you will do all righteousness. Paul also tells us, if you're doing spiritual love, you will not wrong another person. You'll not lie to them, you'll not cheat them, you'll not steal from them. Just go on and on and on. You will not be insensitive to them. People, if you're doing spiritual love, you don't have to have a long list that you have to keep tabs on. You be spiritual lost, you won't sin. There's no cause. There is no cause for it even. That's a powerful statement. There is no cause for sinning if you're in spiritual lust. If we just think about a lot of the categories of sin, gossiping and maligning, what's the cause of that? Jealousy? Anger? Bitterness? But there's no cause in lust. So I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to spread lies. I'm not going to spread truth about somebody's sins. I don't need to. We could just keep going on down the list and talk about category after category of different types of sins that are common to man. Don't need to. It's not going to happen. There's no cause for it. There's no cause. For whatever people do, whatever the world presents, whatever it may be, there's just no cause if you're doing spiritual lust. You will not wrong another person. You won't do it. There's no cause. This is a powerful way of life, people. Here's a way of life that will cause you to stop sinning. All you have to do is to walk by faith in God the Holy Spirit. He pours in spiritual life, and there's no cause to sin in spiritual life. No cause whatsoever. No cause for anger. No cause to sin on the freeway. No cause to sin at Christmas time. No cause to sin. Somebody else sins. No cause for me to sin. Because spiritual love bears. Spiritual love is long suffering. Just go down every one of those 16 impacts. There's no cause. You will not have a cause for sinning. This is a powerful statement. I write these things that you do not sin. And what's he writing? He's not talking about verses 1, chapter 1, verse 6 through chapter 2, 2, where he's talking about recovery. There he's talking about recovery from sin. We know that chapter 1, verse 6 to chapter 2, verse 2 is a parenthesis in itself. That's not his purpose of writing. I'm not writing to you to tell you how to recover from sin. My whole purpose is to tell you how not to sin. And then what does it go in? What's the whole discussion of John about? The whole discussion of John is about spiritual love. Loving as Christ loved. That's what this book's about. That's how you not sin. You sit there and say, well, I'm really going to work on not sinning. No, you don't work on not sinning. The body is faith. Walk by faith, Holy Spirit pours in love. Love won't do that. Love simply will not sin. Doesn't have a reason. It doesn't have a cause. And this is important. It's not just that it doesn't sin, people. It has no cause. There's no cause for it. We can rationalize in human logic. Well, I can understand why that person stole. I can understand why that person did this. And I can understand why that. There's just no cause in spiritual law for sinning. It's not like talking about righteousness and right and wrong. That's a good discussion, but that's not what we're having. There's just no cause. There's no reason for sinning. You can't come up with a circumstance that left can say, okay, sin. At least that's reasonable. No, because everything that love does, all that love entails, all the impact that we're going to look at, all the effects of spiritual life, so there's no cause. There's no cause for you acting that way. Love does not act unbecoming. There's just no cause for me acting this way. And when I act this way, I know one thing. I'm not in the love of Christ. We can judge ourselves as whether or not, because if I act a certain way, nobody has to tell me. I act this way, then love is not there. And if love is not there, it means that the Holy Spirit's not there, power of the Spirit, it means I'm not trusting Him. Boom, the faith is not in there. So we can judge ourselves. Go through all of these things that we're going to be noted. And you can be your own judge. You can just go through life. You don't need anybody else to tell you. You don't need anything. Hey, I'm acting that way. This isn't life. I'm jealous. I'm this. I'm that. I'm sinning in some way. I'm not in spiritual life because there's no cause for it. There's no cause. Yeah, but life just really hurt me and let me down. That's not a cause. Not according to spiritual life. It's a very powerful, superior way of life. It's a very powerful, superior way because it just doesn't give cause. It bears all things. Spiritual love does not take into account when wrong. That's a great cause for sinning. It's not arrogant. Okay, so number one in this study, that you may not sin. Secondly, you reveal when you, this is the most superior way, spiritual love is, because when you're doing spiritual love, you reveal that you know Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Three, you keep His commandments. When you live the superior way, you keep His commandments. Chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Four, when you live the superior way, you are abiding in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 6. Five, you walk in the same manner as your Savior. How did Jesus Christ walk in the superior way? Chapter 2, verse 6. This is the more excellent way. It's a way of reality because without spiritual love, and this is powerful, people, without it, I don't care what you're doing, your life is a lie. I'll be dealing next week with a life without love. In chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, is a life without spiritual love. It describes what your life is like without spiritual love. But staying with John, staying with the way John words it, a life without love, your life without spiritual love, is a lie. You're lying. Why is that true? That's true because, people, you are in Christ. And if you're not loving as Christ loved, you're lying as to who and what you really are. It's kind of a little reverse of the way we generally think of a hypocrite. We generally think of a hypocrite as somebody who says, I'm really good, but you can look at them and they're acting really bad. In this sense, you say, I'm a Christian, but there's no spiritual love, then whatever you're doing, I don't care how moral you are, how wonderful you are, how much you're learning, what you're doing, if there's no spiritual love, your life's a lie. It's a total lie. Because it's a lie. Why? Because you belong to Christ. You belong to Him. And this is what should flow from you. So your life becomes a lie. Your life becomes a deception. Okay, let's take a look. Open to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. And with these things in mind now, that you may not sin, you reveal that you know Him, you keep His commandments, you're abiding in Christ, you walk in the same manner as Christ, and your life is not a lie. But without spiritual love, you lie. Okay, 1 John chapter 2, and let's just read verse from verse 3. Okay? And by this we know that we have come to know Him. I want to know if I know Christ, if we keep His commandments. Now, we don't know what they are, but we are told later it's faith and love. Verse 4. The one who says, I have come to know Him, and does not keep His commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. He says, verse 5, but whoever keeps His word in him, the love of God has truly been perfected. Related to loving as Christ loved. By this, we know that we are in Him. By what? By loving. Having that love perfected. Verse 6, the one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he, Jesus Christ, walked. How did Christ walk? He walked by the power of the Spirit and spiritual love. Sacrificial and beneficial. Sacrificial to self, beneficial to others. Look at verse 9. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness under now. He's lying. He's not in the light. The one who loves his brother, that one abides in the light. And there's no cause for stumbling in him. No cause. There's no cause for sin when you're in spiritual love. Verse 11. But the one who hates his brother, the whole concept is spiritual love, the superior way of life, but the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, people, what does that convey to you? It doesn't mean that his life's miserable. It doesn't mean that he's down on skid row. This person could be making wonderful money and all appearances have a wonderful life, but inside he doesn't know where he's going. What's all this money for? What's all this prosperity for? What's this wonderful marriage for? What's my life for? What is it about? Superior way of life says this is why you're living. Superior way of life says this is why you're married. Superior way of life says this is why you're doing what you're doing. And give that contentment inside. Look at verse 15 in chapter 2. Do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Again, it keeps us from sinning. Look at verse 4, chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. You want to know God? Superior way of life is how. Not learning a lot of doctrine. I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying that that is not what we pursue. We pursue walking in the Spirit and have this love flow through and from us. Chapter 4, verse 16. And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. That's a superior way of life. I want God to abide in me, and I want to abide in him, and I want to fulfill my purpose. That's the superior way of life. Will somebody tell me how? Yeah. Walk by faith in the Spirit. Faith pours in spiritual love, and you're pursuing spiritual love. That's the superior way of life. It is not difficult. It is really rather simple. Look at verse 20. Anyone says, still chapter 4, if anyone says, I love God, hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Oh, yes, I can. People, how can I prevent hating my brother, hating a believer who's wrong me? It's the love, because it bears all things. That's how I can do it. It's impossible in the flesh. How can I be angry at another believer? It's the easiest thing in the world. How can I not be angry? It's a real question. The more superior way of life. Spiritual love is how. Also, as far as knowing God, in what we just looked at, look at verse 7 and 8. I think we read verse 7, but not 8. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love, does not know God, for God is love. So, knowing God is based on the superior way of life. The more excellent way, and the more excellent way is spiritual love. Next, just a few things and then I'll go. Spiritual love is the more excellent way. Oh, this is beautiful. For there will be no fear in your life. You want to banish all fear? Fear of judgment? Fear of being single, fear of being married, fear of old age, fear of death, fear of this, fear of that. Spiritual love, the more excellent way. I got a way of life, not only will you not sin, you never have fear in your life. How can you do that? Simple. Love is Christ's love. Look very quickly at 1 John 4:18. And we'll just stick with one verse. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. There it is, God. You want a life of no fear? Here's a superior way of life. It removes your fear. There is no fear. If there's fear in your life, then I know one thing, that I'm not in the superior way of life, the more excellent way. I'm not flowing in that spiritual love that he has given to me. Spiritual love is the more excellent way for love, for it is the way of having your prayers answered. I'm going to end with this one. You want your prayers answered? What's the superior way of life for your prayers being? Well, you got to be real moral. Got to be real good. Got to learn a lot of doctrine so you know how to pray. Got to learn. No. Let's take a look. Look at chapter 3, verse 22. Chapter 3, verse 22. You want your prayers answered? I'll show you a superior way of life where your prayers will be answered. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments. Okay? So keep his commandments. And do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, what are his commandments? And this is his commandment. That we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. The prayers will be answered. This is the most excellent way. Look at verse 24. And the one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And we know by this that he abides in us by the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. Okay. That's the indwelling of baptism by Jesus Christ. Now, once prayer is answered, here's the spirit way of life. More excellent way of life will get that done. If I want to show you before we see, there's hardly anything you can talk about. This is the the cure all medicine. This is the all in all way to live. This is the secret to life, and I mean just all those kind of things. The old guy that would come through on the covered wagon with his snake oil. It would cure anything and everything. Your hair, you're going bald, it'll take care of that. You know, your cut, take care of that. My mother used to have a medicine. I'd have no idea what it is. But all we called it as kids was the black medicine. And it was in a little tube and it was black. And you put that on anything and it was healed. I mean, cuts, anything. It's gone. Cured it. I didn't know what it was. And I was in Dallas about 5 or 6 years ago, in late 80s. And I just went in and asked the pharmacist. I said, this is going to be the craziest thing in the world. And I even called Mom if she didn't remember the name. And I said, I just want to ask you, I'm looking for a medicine. All I remember is the black medicine that my mom used to give me. It was an older guy who said, here it is. And gave it to me, it was. So I got me the cure-all medicine in my home. It's a cure-all. It's a superior way of life. Love is Christ love. All people, it'll make demands on you. And you'll look foolish sometimes. You'll really look foolish. Christ looked foolish hanging on a cross to the world. And so will you if you love as Christ loves, but not in your soul. It's a superior way of life. Closing the word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for your spirit, who is the power source, Father, of the superior way of life. To simply love as Christ loves. Something that every one of us can have in our soul and in our life. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to spend ages and years developing it. Simply walk by faith. We praise you, Father, for the God that you are in your Son's precious name. Amen. My